pages of notes, so we'll see how it goes. I have no PowerPoint, so you guys are really going to have to struggle for that. But we are going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 13, and we're just going to work through a few passages from there. And one thing we haven't talked about for VBS is we do an offering in support of a ministry or a missionary. And this year we're doing supporting Renovation House. And if you don't know what they are located in Spencer, and they are a residential addiction program, treatment program for men, biblically based. And if you know, how many know where the old Twin Tiers Christian Academy school is? Renovation House now owns that, and they are converting that into a women's residential treatment program. So that is what we're supporting this year. If you want more information, we'd be glad to talk to you about that. So Over the Moat, that's the theme for VBS, and we're talking about the king, but we're not just talking about God as the king. We're using the life of David. And you already heard the question in the skit, who is the king? What is the king like? What does the king want? Why is there a moat? Why are we talking about going over the moat? How can we get over the moat? And we're going to use the life of David to talk about these, to answer these questions. We're going to teach, and the kids are going to learn about the one true king from the life of David. Why David? Okay? It's because he killed the giant, right? David killed Goliath. They're going to talk about that. It's because God used him to defeat a lot of Israel's enemies, right? It's because he was the first king of Israel. Well, actually, he wasn't. Who was the first king of Israel? Saul. So he wasn't even the first. It's because he was the greatest king of Israel, right? Who was the greatest? Solomon, his son. Why would we choose to talk about David to point people to God, to point people to Jesus Christ? So if you're in your Bibles, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, I'm going to read verse 14. It says, "But now your kingdom," this is Samuel talking to Saul. He is now being dismissed by God as king. "Your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has committed him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." So right here, this is the first clue we get to why we're talking about David, is because God says, "I'm going to choose a man after my own heart." And then if you flip over one or maybe two pages in your Bible, to chapter 16, Samuel is finally told by the Lord to go choose this man after God's own heart. Chapter 16, verse 7, he has met David's oldest, biggest, most impressive brother. And this is what God says to Samuel. It says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So he is going to go through the end of the chapter 16 and choose David, not because he's the biggest, not because he's the strongest, not because he's the best looking or most influential, but because of his heart. Then if you flip all the way back, and you don't need to go there, I will read it for you. In 2 Chronicles, at the end of the nation of Israel, before they're starting to be taken away into captivity, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, God says this to the king at the time, whose name was Asa. He says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." And then he goes on to chastise Asa for his choices because he was not faithful to God. So the reason we're talking about David this week in pointing kids to Christ is because he is a man, he is a person after God's own heart. So what does it mean to be a woman, a man, a boy, a girl, a young person, an old person after God's heart? It has nothing to do with your abilities, has nothing to do with you, if you will ever be a king or a queen, or if you will kill giants, if you will fight in a war. It has to do with the choices you make. And I just want to highlight seven practices or seven choices of a person after God's own heart from David's life. We're just going to look at the scripture and draw out the practice that David emulated as a man after God's own heart. So we are in chapter 16. Flip over one page to chapter 17. This is where David fights Goliath, but we haven't gotten there yet. The kids are going to learn about that. But before that, David comes before King Saul, and King Saul interviews him. And David, in verse 34, answers Saul. He says, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. When it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God.'" Now, if we stop there, it looks like David's a pretty strong guy, right? He can do this on his own. He killed the lion. He killed the bear. But then he doesn't stop there. David continues in verse 37. It says, "Moreover, David said to the king, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine.'" So David, a person after God's own heart, a man after God's own heart, his first practice is, if we want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, we need to give credit to God when we succeed. He didn't stop and say, "I killed the lion and I killed the bear." He said, "God did it." So that's the first practice of a person after God's own heart. Turn to chapter 18, verse 5. This is the second practice of a man or a woman or a person after God's own heart. "So David went out whenever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants." Now, you'd say, well, what's the big deal? We just went from chapter 16. What happened to David in chapter 16? What did Samuel tell him he was? He's the king. What is he doing? He's in the rejected king's house serving. And what does it say? Went out whenever Saul sent him. He's doing whatever he asks. David could have stood up and said, "Don't you know who I am? I'm the king. You're not. Get out. This is my house." But he's instead, because he's a man after God's own heart, he chooses to be a servant. He chooses to serve those that are still in authority, even though that was his position and he will be king in the end. A person after God's own heart gives God credit for their success. They are servants. Turn several pages over to chapter 24 of 1 Samuel. First Samuel is chapter 24, starting in verse 3. "So he," talking about Saul, "came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave. And Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, 'This is the day which the Lord said to you, Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.' David rose and secretly cut off the corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart was troubled because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to the men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this to my master, the Lord's anointed, and stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord.'" So David restrained his servants with these words. They did not allow them to rise up against Saul. Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also rose out of the cave and called out to Saul, saying, "My lord, the king." Saul looked, and behold, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. Drop down to verse 10. "Look this day, your eyes have seen that the Lord has delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and some have urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you, that I will not, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yes, the corner of your robe is in my hand. I have cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt me. Let the Lord judge between you and me. Let the Lord avenge me on you. My hand shall not be against you.'" So here's the opportunity David's been waiting for. He's been anointed king. He has Saul all to himself. He has people around him saying, take what's yours. Take what God has given you. Kill Saul. Become king. And David says, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get even. That's God's responsibility. When God takes care of Saul, then I'll take my place on the throne. This happens again in a few more chapters in 1 Samuel 26. The third practice of a man or a woman after God's own heart is that they don't get even. They don't take their revenge into their own hands. Flip over to the first chapter of the next book, 2 Samuel. Second Samuel chapter 1, starting in verse 11. Saul has been killed. Men have run to David and announced it to him. And here is David's response. Therefore, David took hold of his own clothes, tore them, as did all the men who were with him. They mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. Excuse me. Here is a man who has hunted, attempted to kill David, who has the position that God has promised David, and what does he do when he finally finds out this man is gone, I can be king? He celebrates and throws a party. No, he mourns. He cares about his enemy. The fourth practice of those of us who want to be men and women after God's own heart is we care about our enemies. This is, again, example of Jesus Christ. He cared about us as enemies enough to die for us. Again, this happens in the next, in chapter 3 of 2 Samuel. Another enemy dies, and David mourns for him. It's not just for the king that David cares about. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king, talking about David at Hebron. And King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed King David king over Israel. This has finally happened. How long since 1 Samuel 16? We're not really sure. But it's been at least a decade and probably up almost two decades that David has waited for this moment. He's had his opportunities to push his own agenda, to make things happen, and he's chosen as a man after God's own heart to wait for God's timing. That's principle or practice five of men and women who want to be after God's own heart is they wait for God's timing. I'm not going to read, but 2 Samuel chapter 6, all the way through chapter 10, David goes about fulfilling God's instructions to rid the nation of Israel of their enemies. This is a problem that should have been taken care of in the book of Joshua and Judges, but it never happened. So finally, David says, I'm going to follow God's instructions to the letter and to the utmost, and I'm going to do what he wants. The sixth principle of a man or woman who wants to be after God's own heart is that they follow God's instructions. God told Joshua, he started it, and he died, and he said, Israel, you're supposed to finish this, and they never did until David came along. The seventh and final principle of a man or woman after God's own heart is found in 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. This is after the sin of David and Bathsheba, and it's been hidden. Uriah has been killed. He takes Bathsheba to be his wife. And finally, Nathan is sent by God to confront David. He tells the story of the sheep, the shepherd, and the stealing of the sheep. And David gets righteously angry. And he is confronted with the fact that the picture I just painted, David, is of what you did to Uriah. And here is David's response. Verse 13. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. A man or a woman after God's own heart sees and deals with sin the way God sees and deals with sin. So we only have a little picture right here of David's response, but I'm going to flip over to Psalms chapter 51, which is David writing more about this event in his life. Psalm 51, starting in verse 3, says, I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only I have sinned and have done evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Verse 16, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, a heart after God. These, O God, you will not despise. So which of these seven practices did God kind of poke you this morning and say, this is where you're struggling, this is where you need to focus over the next week, over the next month, over the next year? Who are you giving credit for your success, yourself or God? Are you serving, or are you wanting people to serve you? Are you a person, a man, a woman, a boy or a girl who likes to get even? Are you a one who doesn't want anything to do? If you have an enemy, that's all they are, that's all they'll ever be, that's not going to change. You don't care about them. Are you impatiently waiting and pushing for your own timing, or are you waiting on God's timing and saying, I'm going to be patient, I know he has a better time and a better plan than I do? Are you one that's following God's instructions or not? We started two Sunday school classes this morning. I encourage you, if you weren't there, to come next week for the ladies and the men. It's all about being courageous for the men, and I'm not really sure what the women are talking about. They didn't let me come. But it's about knowing. Pastor challenged us men this morning. We have to know what God's word says, and then we have to do it. We have to follow God's instructions. Are you a man or a woman who deals honestly with their sin? Or are you more willing to dismiss it, explain it away, justify it, or cover it up? Seven principles, seven practices of a man or a woman who wants to be the type of person that God described as after his own heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this brief time in your word. We thank you for what you're going to do this week in young men and women's, boys and girls' lives, and in those that are serving here, as we look at the life of David, pointing us to your son, who was the greatest and most important king Israel had and the world still has today. Lord, we ask that if there's anyone here that doesn't understand that, how to get over that moat, that they'd be bold and talk to someone who brought them or someone they trust. Lord, for those of us that already know, may we look at the seven practices that we saw in David's life and begin to strive with your help to live them out in front of others and demonstrate that we want and we are desiring to be a man, a woman, a boy or girl after your own heart. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.